Well, hi everyone. Let me add my welcome to Charmaine's. It's great to see you here, particularly if this is your first time here. Every Thursday here at All Souls, we take a look at some teaching of Jesus from the Bible to investigate his claims and what it means today. And this week, we're going to be looking at one of the key events in the Easter story, and that is Jesus' trial before Pilate. It's John 19, 1 to 16. It was read out to us earlier. It's on page 1087 if you want to follow along. And what we're going to see is why it was that Pilate completely missed who Jesus Christ was. I don't know if you've ever failed to recognize who someone was. I used to be a foreign exchange forwards trader in the city. I'd been there about 6 months to a year, it must have been, and a new guy, fresh-faced, somewhat shy, turned up on the desk, was asking me about some financial exam he had to take. I knew about it because I'd done it just 6 months earlier when I joined and I'd started. And I said to him, oh, it'll be all right, you'll get through it. And you know, I took him under my wing slightly in that first week and sort of showed him how the phones worked and who the people were and the computer screens. He did look at me somewhat strangely. I just thought this was because he was new. And then at the end of the week, my current boss, the boss of the desk, stood up and said, I'd like to introduce you to the new head of UK trading. He's from Australia, years of experience, but from Australia. He needs to do his UK banking exam, you know, and then up stands, you know, this shy, fresh-faced guy. You know, I just thought he was a new graduate. You know, he was my new boss. I mean, you can imagine my embarrassment. I completely missed who he was. Mistake with Jesus Christ. I mean, okay, you get your boss wrong. It was a few days embarrassment for me. But you get Jesus Christ wrong. Well, this is someone who claims to have the meaning of life, the truth about God. It's something no one wants to miss out on. That's what this is all about. Okay, so why is it that Pilate completely missed who Jesus was? Well, the first thing to see in these verses is that appearances can be deceiving. So page 1087, you look down, when this passage was read out to us, it doesn't look that Jesus is a God, is the Son of God. I mean, if Jesus really is who he claimed to be, if he's the Son of God, if he's the Savior of the world, you see this here, he just seems so weak before Pilate. And he's silent. He seems powerless. In verse 1, Pilate has Jesus flogged, but Jesus does nothing. Flogging, by the way, was one of the most horrific punishments for the worst of criminals. Being beaten and beaten, he says nothing, he does nothing. In verse 5, Pilate mocks Jesus. You know, he rams this crown of thorns on his head, this purple, you know, here's your man. Some king, weak, powerless, says nothing. It's clear who Pilate thinks is in charge. Come verse 10, Jesus is silent. Pilate says, do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Who is this Jesus? Is he really the Son of God? It doesn't look like it. And that's because appearances can be deceiving. Just look at Jesus' response in verse 11. This is the first time he speaks, the only time he speaks in this section. And he says, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. You may seem weak. He may seem powerless. Jesus says he is in complete control. The story is told of three young men who hopped on a bus in Detroit back in the 1930s. And they pick a fight with this man sitting by himself at the back of the bus. And they're really laying into him. And he says nothing. They're heaping these insults on him. He does nothing. They really raise the insults. Eventually, this man stands up, very cool, very calm, very collected. He takes out this business card and hands it to one of the three young men. And on the business card is written these words, Joe Louis, professional boxer, heavyweight champion of the world, 1937 to 49. This guy had real power. Along with Muhammad Ali, something the greatest heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Real power, restrained power, chose not to use it. This is what's happening here with Jesus Christ. Real power, but choosing not to use it. Choosing to be treated like this. The whole of John's Gospel has been moving towards this. Jesus himself said he was going to die. Back in chapter 10, he said to his disciples, I am going to lay my life down for you. I have authority, I have power to do this. And so as you've been reading through John's gospel, it is absolutely clear that Jesus, he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God, but the shock is, you know, he's allowing himself to be treated like this, to suffer like this, to be flogged like this, mocked like this. We may have this view of God as a tyrant, of a bully, sort of beating people into submission if they don't do his will. But here is Jesus Christ claiming to be the Son of God, laying his life down. All the power, giving up the power, flogged, slapped, treated like a common criminal. Appearances can be deceiving. Now the question is, why? Why does Jesus let himself be treated like this? Well, in a nutshell, he is suffering like this, dying like this for us, for a world that has turned its back on him. It's quite interesting here. Back then, the world's population was split in two, Jew and Gentile. And here we have the representatives of both parties. We've got Pilate, the Roman leader, the Gentile. We've got the Jewish leaders, Jew and Gentile. Here is a picture of the world. And how do they treat Jesus Christ? Verse 15, take him away, crucify him. Verse 16, finally Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So here is God himself, the Son of God. He comes to earth. He comes to a people he made, a people he loves, a people he gives life to. And what does the world do? They kill him. They crucify him. Don't know if you saw the uproar last month over this Flappy Bird mobile app. Did you see this? The app comes out of nowhere. It is incredibly popular. Everyone wants it. Everyone's trying to get a hold of it. And the creator of the app, he's not ready for the fame. And so he says on Twitter that he's going to pull the app from Apple, from Google Play. But then he starts receiving all these tweets from his supposed fans, threatening to kill him. I've got some written here. I'm going to find you and kill you. I will kill you if you take it down. You best not be deleting Flappy Bird because I will murder you if you do. And there was this real uproar and shock, you know, that people would react like this and speak like this. You know, rightly so. But the more sobering part of it is people do react like this. And people do say this. And there is something deep in the human heart, which means we treat not just the creator of a mobile phone app like this, we treat our own creator like this. Crucify him. Kill him. Now, of course, we may say these are the Jewish leaders, and this is Pilate. We were not there back then. But look, I'll speak for myself. I know something of that inclination to push God away. Now, areas of my life when I don't want him to be in charge, when I don't trust him, just not there. Don't you? The Bible says that deep down, by nature, all of us, by heart, that we have this desire to ignore God, to push him one side, to reject him, to get away. We don't want him. And that is a terrible thing, and that is a shocking thing to treat our Creator like this. And yet, the even greater shock is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he comes to earth and he chooses to be treated like this by a world that has rejected him, to die for us, to save us from our rejection of our Creator, to pay for our sins so we can be forgiven, so we can have this relationship we were made for. That is what's going on here. And do you know this was all predicted 700 years earlier? I want to read out from the prophet Isaiah, 700 years earlier, of what would happen when the Messiah comes to earth. Listen to these words. See if you can see some of it picked up in John 19. He was despised and rejected by humankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, though he had no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. We all, like sheep, have gone astray.
Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here is God. It's always been a part of God's plan that he would come to earth in the person of his Son to suffer and be rejected and die for a sinful world, for a world that rejects him, for people like you and me who reject him. This is not a good man dying tragically young. Appearances can be deceiving. This is the Son of God giving up his life to save you and me. Now, it's always an amazing thing when someone gives up their life for someone else. Did you see the story a couple of weeks back about the teacher who saved his student's life by giving up one of his kidneys? Granted, he didn't die in that, but I mean, it was quite a sacrifice. He's got one less kidney, and the operation, you know, is dangerous. But what was interesting about how the family, they were so deeply moved by this act of love, deeply moved by this sacrifice, and they describe him as this hero and this life savior, and he's this amazing man. And when we realize what's really going on here with Jesus Christ, when we truly realize what he has done for us, this more than that, he's died for us, well, that is what changes everything. How we view God, he's not a tyrant, he's full of love. It changes the way we view ourselves. We're sinners that need forgiveness, saving. It changes the way we view the world. Everyone needs to hear this. The message of Easter. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, giving it all up for us to save us forever. And as we can see with Pilate, tragically, he just totally misses it. And as we said at the start, Jesus does not want us making the same mistake. So please, if this is your first time here, if this is the first time back to church for a while, the Easter story, first and foremost, it is about what Jesus Christ has done for you and done for me. Dying for us, saving us. It is not about what we do for him. It's not about being good for him. It's not about being good enough. We're not good enough. We're part of a world that rejects him. We are sinners that need saving. We need forgiveness. Marvelously, there is that forgiveness. It's here. And all we need to do is say sorry to God, receive that forgiveness, have the relationship we were always made for. On my wedding day, I got to church early just so I could catch up with friends and family that I'd not seen for a while. And just with about 10 minutes to go, I just took myself off to one side just to sort of compose myself, you know, before the vows that I was about to make. And at this point, a family of four came up to me. Mum, dad, two teenage sons. And the dad goes, yeah, excuse me, can you tell me where to sit, please? And I say, oh, yeah, no, that's fine. If you just go around the corner, there'll be an usher there. He'll tell you where to sit. Dad's not happy with this. He goes, no, please, can you show me where to sit, please? And I say, well, I'm trying to get ready. So I just say, no, really, look, just 5 meters away. See that guy there? He's one of my ushers. Here, he'll get you to a seat. And at this point, he says to me, well, I presume you've got some role to play today. You know, and I could have let it slide, but, you know, and I did respond probably with a little bit too much of smug satisfaction. Yes, I do, actually. You know, my name's Mark. I'm the groom. I'm about to get married. Who are you? You know, and his kids are like, no, Dad. And he's like, I'm sorry. He completely missed who I was. He's like, please forgive me. You know, and of course I did. It was my wedding day. And a wonderful thing about Jesus Christ, you know, we could have spent our whole life up to now totally missing who he is. But you say sorry to him, you ask for forgiveness, and it is yours. Right now. And you can have this relationship with God that we are made for forever. What is interesting, just to finish, about Pilate is seeing why ultimately he rejected Jesus. I mean, three times in this section, he says, this guy is innocent. I find no basis for a charge against him. Three times. And yet still he has him charged. Well, why is that? Verse 12. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But at the end of the day, he wanted to be a friend of Caesar. He cared too much what others were saying about him, thinking of him. He fears for his future, his career. And so he hands Jesus Christ over. Now, it could be here you're hearing about the claims of Jesus Christ for the first time, and if that's the case, well, surely you'll want to look into this some more, and I'd encourage you to do that. We're here every Thursday. It'd be great to have you here. Christianity Explored courses we run that can look into it some more. It'd be great to go on one of those. But there may be one or two here who have heard the claims of Jesus Christ, And you believe what he's saying here. You believe he's innocent. You believe he's the Son of God. He's died for you. But there is something holding you back. And it could be a fear of others, what people might think. It could be a fear for your future, your career. But I hope you can see, I hope we all can see, appearances can be deceiving. Doesn't look like it, but Jesus Christ is the one with all the power, and he has given it all up for you. You don't need to fear for your future. You don't need to fear what others think. Don't miss out. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you, we praise you afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that in the person of your Son, you have come to earth to reveal yourself to us, but ultimately to die for us, to give up your life for us, to save us from our rejection of you so we can know you, be forgiven by you, loved by you, have life with you here and forever. And we pray, Father God, that that would be something that we see, even though it may not look like it. We pray that you would protect us from making the same mistake as Pilate. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.